way back from that.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here this morning on this, I guess we could call it dreary. We do need some rain, but we have gotten very little, so we're glad that everybody made it up this morning and could come out and be with us this morning for our service. Announcements. It's getting to the point of the year where when you look in your bulletin, you just see announcement after announcement, so I'm going to ask that you read the announcements yourself. I will touch on a few, but October is becoming an extremely busy month, as will the rest of the year. The only thing I need to make note is our junior high youth need to be back here, the ones that are here for this service, at 11:35 this morning for their outing today to the movies. Please note how much money you need to bring. Also, make note there will be no dinner, no junior high, senior high. Are you doing Bible study this Wednesday night? You are. Okay. Because of fall break, so we will not have our Wednesday night dinner. We will pick that back up next Wednesday night. The hayride, our annual hayride at the Strasser Farm, will be the 24th. Please make note of that. There is an insert. Please make note of the holiday bazaar that we're having, which is the first Saturday in November. They do need help. They need food. Anyone who knows anybody that might sell a product or could get a product for our silent auction, they do need silent auction items. They need baked goods. Please make note, and if you can help in any of the areas, please let the chairperson know. It is printed on the insert, so please make note of that. If you want to eat, please make note of all the eating. There is a lot of eating going on this month in Nolensville, so please make note of that. That it's just a brief rundown of the announcements. Please, like I said, please read in your bulletin. Are there announcements that we would like to make known at this time? Everybody's announced out today. Okay. First-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors with us today?
Isabel has a sister.
Lori, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. We hope you enjoy our worship experience. We're very glad you're here. Are there other first-time visitors? If not, please be sure and register your attendance in the pads. Russ Dornan. Will you pass out our attendance pads for us, sir, if you would do that? You and Ed? Thank you. Prayer request. Do we have any prayer requests? I know that... Who went with Sam today? Who left with Sam today?
The ones I know of is Tracy Spicer, and there was a man from Tuscan Church named Steve Carden, and I believe there was one more person, but I cannot remember.
Did Mr. Woodruff?
Do what?
Did Mr. Woodruff?
I don't think so.
Richard Woodruff.
Oh, he did? Richard Woodruff did.
Right.
Okay, well, that was, so. And let's see, there's a woman from the Brush Hill Church. I forget her name, but Gloria Gregory. She's been on many trips. And Nancy went with them, too. So, and there's one more, I believe, but I cannot recollect right now.
We need to. Are they staying a week?
A week.
A week. We need to pray for them as they go down and help those that. It's a tropical. It's a depression, but it's putting lots of rain in New Orleans right now. So pray for all those who are in that path. Are there others?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, I knew Sally, but
and George.
George and Sally Bohannon. Also lift you up, Phyllis. Well, so we'll lift you and your mom and dad up. Are there others?
This Joyce Thomas is back at Bethany. Brother Harris is not doing good at all. Ms. Harris is not doing good at all. Ms. Thompson is not doing good at all. All three of them are in Bethany. Ms. Josephine will come to church this morning, so I'll be going to pick her up.
Well, I thought she looked well.
She did. She
yes, last week. I enjoyed talking to her.
She's almost getting sassy.
Well,
and
that's different now than what she used to be, huh?
Yeah.
She's that's a good sign when she's sassy.
Yeah. Okay, who else? That covers most of them.
Okay.
Since Luke before had a setback, he had some heart problems. He had knee surgery in the hospital and has a heart flare up, so we don't know. I think he's okay now.
What is her name?
Ruth.
Okay, she's okay. I got.
She's got a good spirit. That's good.
Yeah.
Sure, we sure will. Hope the best. Pam? What is his name? But it's Deb Hensel's father. Are there others? If not, please pray for those that we have mentioned, those that are on our prayer list. Pray for our armed forces, wherever they may be. Please pray for our leaders, as this is an election year. So if you could bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive if you will turn in your bulletins. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. O God, we will give you thanks, call on your name, make known your deeds, and sing your praises. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is above all and through all and in all. God is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. Let us worship God.
If you will turn in your hymnal to number 508, I will sing the wondrous story, and let's all stand and sing about this wondrous story.
As we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we approach your throne. We come knowing that you have given a wonderful experience to share. Not just a story that someone else told. Lord, thank you. Thank you for coming and touching our lives. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to be your people. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming us from sin and saving us from Satan and his clutches and all that that would include. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have of living eternally with you. And Father, we're humbled by your blessing to us. And Lord, let us tell the experience. Let us make it our story. And Lord, help us to share it that others might hear, believe, and then take up for themselves the banner and tell the story. Tell their experience and call others still to trust You. Lord, speak to us as individuals and speak to us as a church. Motivate us to be about the business that You have called us to be about as Your people. As we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal. And it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Turning your hymnal to 277, we'll do 1, 2, and 4.
Amen.
We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Could I have our ushers come forward at this time?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do hear your word, and sometimes we just take it as another book. But your word is more than that. It is living. It's a book of instructions. It's a book about your dealing with your people. It's a book about how we should live. It's a book of power. Help us, Lord, to not only hear it, but so move in us that we would do it. Amen.
Our scripture this morning will be read by Jessica. No, not Jessica, but George, you forgot to tell me.
Ephesians 4, 1 through 7 and 16, or 11 through 16. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling as you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over and all through is all in all. But to each of us, grace has been given and Christ has apportioned it. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth in the waves and blown here and there by every wind of the teaching and by the cunning of craftiness in man, in their deceitful scheming. Instead of speaking the truth of love, we will in all things grow upon into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up into love as each part does its work. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Thank you, Jesse and Kim and Teresa. How many of you are in an exercise program? Anybody in an exercise program? One. I read about a new one this week that I hadn't heard about before. I guess it's a church people's exercise program. And we seem a little quiet this morning, so maybe this will wake you up. You might want to stand and you might want to just sit. Most of these can be done sitting, I think. This person wrote and said the doctor told him that he should start an exercise program, and not wanting to harm his body. You know, it can be dangerous to exercise too much, can it not? This person devised the following. On Monday, he would beat around the bush, jump to conclusions, and climb the walls, and wade through the morning paper. That's a difficult Monday. Okay? Anybody want to try any of that right now? Okay. Others, on Tuesday, he said he would drag his heels, push his luck, and make mountains out of molehills and hit the nail on the head. Wednesday, he would bend over backwards, jump on the bandwagon, and run around in circles. Pretty active person, isn't he? Thursday, advised the president on how to run the country, toot his own horn, pull out all the stops, and add fuel to the fire. On Friday, he would open a can of worms, put his foot in his mouth, start the ball to rolling, and go over the edge. Saturday, he'd just pick up the pieces. But Sunday, he would bow his head in prayer. He'd kneel in prayer, bow his head in thanksgiving, uplift his hands in praise, and hug someone and encourage them. Could we bow our heads in thanksgiving at least for a moment? I think it automatically goes, you have to close your eyes when you bow your head, right? Could we lift up our hands and praise? Would that bother us too much? And would you just open your eyes now and look to someone and think of a hug? And if you feel like going and hugging somebody, just get up and go hug them. The church. We're part of the church. We're in the church building, but we're together as a segment, small segment of the church. And if you got a handout, did you get a handout this morning? We'll probably only cover the first three this morning. Probably only cover the first three. Study something to preach. Next week, Gary's going to preach. Gary's done, unless he changes, Gary's done sharing the basics of his sermon, and you will not want to miss it.
I've heard part of it, then I'll listen to it when I return. I'm going to St. Louis to a wedding on Friday night, and then Carol and I are going to take a fall journey. We won't call it a vacation, just a fall journey. We're not sure where we're going, but we'll be back midweek the following week. And then the following week, on the 24th, understand that the youth are to have the service. I don't think they have a speaker yet. So I may get to preach on Youth Sunday. Youth, you may want to volunteer to keep me from preaching at you on Youth Sunday. Okay? I think the junior highs are going to have the great emphasis this time. And is it right? The youth are not volunteering to speak, but they're going to do everything else. Is that right? But we still got tonight and next week to prepare. So, that would be for the 24th. The youth are going to leave the service on the 24th. And we're still, y'all pray that they will have one of the youth that can bring us a message. Let's think about the church that we're a part of. That's some of the events of the church. That's the church. The church is the body of Christ. Over and over, Paul refers to the church as being the body of Christ, with Christ at the head. Sometimes we are a body of believers and we forget that Christ is the head. We believe in Him, but we want to kind of do the direction ourselves. I found a one-liner about that, but it's as I cannot. I have too many sheets of paper up here, I guess. Don't give God instructions; just report for duty. But some of us want to even give God instructions. I still think of this elderly man, elderly preacher in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and every time he prayed, and he was a very humble person, but when he prayed, he made it sound like he was instructing God to act according to what he was asking, and just kind of his tone of voice. He'd say, "Now, Lord," and proceed with instructions to God, what it sounds like. But if he's head of the church, he's the one to give the instructions. And sometimes we don't want to follow his instruction. We at Jenkins are part of the larger church. Presbyterians and Cumberland Presbyterians have never claimed to be the only group. We've always known that we were a part of the larger church. We don't have the only message, we just think we have the best message. That's a little presumptuous to say, is it not? We tell it in a better way. We emphasize the more better parts of the gospel. Or we think we do. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. Why I stayed here. I was kind of born into the church and got into the church in the denomination that I'm still in, but it sounded so good. It sounded so right, and it sounds so much in keeping with the total scriptures. That's why I understand it. Now, some people can argue that one a long time. But we're part of the larger church. We're not the only one that's doing the work of God. And in a right way. They're doing it in a right way too. A definition of the church, one of the definitions I found in one of those little footnotes in the Scofield Bible, this one is at the bottom of Philippians 1:1. It's a local church is an assembly of professed believers
believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're trusting in Him, we assemble ourselves together in His name for a variety of purposes. One is the breaking of bread, and last Sunday we gathered at His table, or we gathered before His table, and we were served from His table the bread. We also have the breaking of bread of a common meal, the fellowship meals. But we come together in His name for the breaking of bread, for worship, for expressing ourselves before God. And some people do it one way and with one emphasis, and others another way. Some people like to just continually raise their hands all through the service. Some people like to say a lot of amen. Some people like to clap a lot. Some people even like to dance a lot in the service to express their love of God before Him. And some people like to do it in a more quiet way. We come together to praise God. We come together as a group to offer our prayers, and we come hopefully to give testimony. We come to share in God's Word. We come to minister through the Word that's not a dead book or just so many pages written on a piece of paper. Because it's a living Word. The Word is living. Spirit-inspired, God's Spirit, or Holy Spirit-inspired Word. And we come to share that. And as we read it, we believe that the Holy Spirit works through that Word. And it changes our lives. We share the gospel out yonder, through the disciples that the church makes, or God makes through the church. Every local church has Christ in their midst, because He has promised if we meet in His name, He will come and be with us. He will come and dwell with us. We may not acknowledge His presence. We may not follow His leadership, but every time the church meets, Jesus has promised to come and be in their midst. We may come someday and not feel Him, but He is there. But the days that we really need Him to touch us, He is here to touch us, to bless us, to speak to us. And some days we come with great need, and some days we come with less need. Some days we come with the feeling of, oh, we're okay today, we're strong enough of our own strength, and we don't seek the presence of God. But there are other days that we come to the church where we're just anxious, we're aching for that touch from God. Are we not? He's always present where His people gather together, even a small group. He says, where two or three are gathered together in His name, He would be in their midst. Every local church has Christ in the midst. Every local church is a temple of God. Every local church is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. One of the songs I like is, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. It must be the Spirit of the Lord. It is the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes it may not feel real sweet if it's that time that we are receiving our correction from God, or our challenge to do something or be involved in something that we really don't want to be involved in. He is calling us to do something that we're not anxious to do. It may not be real sweet then. And then sometimes there's that correcting spirit that chastises us. That's the Spirit of the Lord too. But then There are other times that we love, we enjoy, we wish would happen every time that we would come and it would be that sweet, sweet, soothing, affirming spirit. And ultimately, after our correction, after our confession, after our chastisement, if you will, it is sweet, isn't it? Because we are cleansed. We are right with God because we have made the adjustments. Sometimes if we do not make them, if we ignore the compelling of the Spirit, wow, we go away still let down. We didn't feel it was so sweet. But it can become sweet when we place ourselves in the care of God and ask Him, invite Him, allow Him to make those adjustments in our lives that need to be made. And He sees need to be made. And He reveals to us that we need to make. Today's lesson is a letter to the church at Ephesus. Who's been to Ephesus? Anybody been on a Holy Land tour? Ephesus? This lesson is a passage about building up the church. And it's really about one main point of it. It's about the gifts that God gives to the church in order that the church may be built up. The church growing up. It's a passage about the church growing up. And I see it as a passage about the church growing up in number as well as growing to maturity spiritually. And the two go together. Both of them. Growing in number and growing to maturity in spiritual matters. They're both important. They're both necessities in the life of a church. Rick Warren, does that name ring a bell? The book, Purpose Driven Life, everybody is studying it. 40 days of purpose, and they're trying to go through 40 days. The Sanctuary Sunday School class is spending about 40 weeks on it. Is that about right? And that's good. Some things you don't need to rush in 40 days. That's the crown course for this. Rick Warren also wrote a book called The Purpose Driven Church. And he tells the story of going to Southern California in the 70s and establishing a church. It's called Saddleback Church, and he is still there. It's the Saddleback area of Orange County, California. And I think it's Saddleback Community Church. And in the book, he shared a sermon outline that I believe speaks to this church as well as to his church. So I've borrowed his outline, and that's the outline that you see. 6 points, and let's cover three of them this morning. Point one, and I have adapted this to our situation. If I hadn't told you, you would have thought this was original with me, but I feel obligated to tell the whole truth, especially in these matters. The church. A place where hurting, depressed, frustrated, and confused people can find help. You ever come to church frustrated? You ever leave frustrated? You ever leave without finding the help that you needed? A place where hurting, depressed, frustrated, confused people can find help. And that help is love. And that help is acceptance. And that help is hope. Some people come hopeless. And hopefully, the church will help the hopeless find hope. Hope in God. Hope in Jesus Christ. Some people come to church burdened with sin. personal sin, hopefully they can find forgiveness. The church is here to share forgiveness. We talked about that in depth last week. And that's what the communion service reveals to us, the forgiveness of God. So often the church has emphasized you've got to be worthy before you can partake from this table. Well, the word is worthily, or in a worthy manner. Paul's instructions to the Corinthian church says, don't come in an unworthy manner. It's a serious matter, so we need to take it seriously. We don't always have to frown throughout the communion service. In some churches, you would think if anybody smiled during a communion service that they were being something out of order. But it's very orderly to realize that through this experience, we're reminded again of God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And then when we can apply that forgiveness to our own selves and claim forgiveness, that's something to smile about, isn't it? We have been forgiven. We're not guilty anymore. Hopefully, the church is a place where frustrated, depressed, confused people can find guidance. Guidance for living. One of the problems that we have, if we don't already believe it, we don't want to hear much about it, do we? If it's different than what we've always believed, if it's something new that we haven't realized before, we haven't been taught before, we question it. Sometimes we are very hesitant to claim the guidance that is offered through the sermon, the lesson, the reading of the Scripture, or maybe through a song that we sing, or maybe through the words of a prayer that someone offered, or maybe just through a word of a fellow worshiper. Encouragement. The church is a place of encouragement for the discouraged. How many were discouraged in any experience this week? Anything that discouraged you? Just think about it. You were discouraged. Anybody else that went through discouragement? Through some discouragement. All of us probably did, but we had discouragement here. Hopefully the church can be a place of encouragement. The one place I think we really encourage one another is when we pray for sick people. We know that someone is helping us carry the burden. Your mom this week, and your dad today, your mom this week. And the church comes together and lifts up together your concerns, your needs, your hurts. Hopefully, we can find encouragement there. That's what it's intended for. You know, I think sometimes when we start sharing prayer concerns and even go into detail with some of the problems that people have, I say, do we need to tell, in my mind, I say, do we need to tell all the details? But we do, because that person that's got a hurting parent or a hurting child, they need us to listen to their hurts. So share those details. Share those details. And then we can join together in prayer for these needs that we bring before the Lord, really. That's what we're doing. We're taking it before the Lord. And then together we lift them up. And then we carry part of that burden ourselves. Somebody said a long time ago, I read, if you share a burden with somebody, that is, they may go off and forget about it, but the one that's done the sharing To them, half the burden is gone because they've shared it with somebody. Even if that person never thinks about it again. But sometime about midnight or about 2 o'clock, they'll wake up. And I do this often, wake up and I say, oh, I forgot about so-and-so's burden. I need to lift this up to the Lord. I guess you do that too sometimes if you're awake at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it happens. Okay, how does all of this sound to you for the church? To be a place where when you are hurting, depressed, frustrated, confused, where you can find love and acceptance and help and hope and forgiveness and guidance and encouragement. If you've never needed this, you might not see that the church ought to be that. But you who have needed this, and all of us have, though, haven't we? We come knowing that that's what we want the church to be. And that's what Jesus talks about the church being as we see Him living His life and helping the downtrodden, helping the sick, helping the discouraged, helping the frustrated, and helping them find hope for living through His healing ministry, through His miraculous ministry, but through His words of encouragement. To me, it sounds good. I hope it does to you. To me, this is what the church ought to be. And when I read Rick Warren's outline, I said, wow, that's a sermon I got to preach someday. And I read this months ago. So I go in, I'm still wading through the book. And so I go pull it out and said, we need to talk about the church. And maybe the last Sunday of the month, we can get back and talk more about the church. A place where the lost can be found. A place where the unsaved can be saved. A place where people who don't know what to do or don't know where to turn can find Jesus Christ waiting with open arms to receive and to console and to hug and to help. The question, how does this apply to Jenkins Church? And I hope that this is what you see. But I know that we could always do better. We could always do better. And I know that we overlook some who come with their hurts and nobody ever recognizes that we're hurting. And they don't give us that encouragement that we need. But that's what we ought to do. And we need to be on the lookout, looking out for those who are in need, those who come to the church disheartened, downtrodden, despondent, distraught. We need to be looking to those, we who are up that particular day. Or even if we're down, if we can look and find someone else that we might encourage, we can encourage each other, see. We can benefit by helping one another. Paul wrote to the Roman church saying, I want to come to be with you. And he started out in one of the early sermons that I preached when I came to this church. I went back through some notes this week from my 1987 preaching. And then this is also a sermon that I've preached when I go and try to help or go to help install a pastor at a church. But Paul said, I want to come to see you folks. He was writing to the Roman Christians. He said, I just need to get there. He said, I've got so much to tell you. I've got so much to give you that will help you. And then it appears to me that Paul said, thought a moment, and then he says, oh yeah, yeah, I want to come and receive some blessings from you. You've got some experiences, you've got some blessings that I can benefit from. He said, I want to come and be with you that we might encourage one another. I find that in the first chapter of Romans. And that's what I see coming to church. Some of us, maybe both of us are downhearted, but we can cry on each other's shoulders and we can lift them up and give hope. Is that what the church is supposed to be for? The lost finding salvation, but we may have to let somebody cry on our shoulders before they can get to that point. I hope this describes this congregation, maybe not what it is fully, but what it is becoming. And we're always becoming. We're always becoming. We're always moving. We're always changing. Hopefully we're always growing, especially in spiritual maturity. But we have to admit there are some days when, you know, we're on the bottom. Then we get back to the top. It's not level. Our Christian life, it's not level. It's not even always upward. Just hopefully it's not always downward. It's like this, is it not? That's the way we go. We're up one day, but we're not always. Some days we're down. Are we willing to let God's love touch us? Are we willing to let God's acceptance claim us? We let His hope and forgiveness and guidance. Are we willing to let His love, His acceptance, His hope, His forgiveness, His guidance, His encouragement? Are we willing to allow that to flow through us? Are we willing to allow God's blessings flow through us to those who need help, to those who need encouragement, to those who need forgiveness, to those who need to feel that they are loved and acceptance? Are we willing to reach out to the hurting, to the depressed, to the frustrated, to the confused? I'd like for you to look at verse 1 and 2 of our scripture lesson this morning. I've lost my copy of it somehow. What does verse 1 and 2 say? Someone read it for us. That's okay. Thank you. I urge you to live a life worthy of a calling that we have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So what I've been saying, I think, is included right there in those two verses. And then make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, I said we had covered 3 points or half of this. Somebody asked the professor once, said, "Professor, how many points should a good sermon have?" And he said, "At least one." And we've only covered one, but that may be enough for us to think about today. Because I may have 2 weeks of preaching left in this outline. Near to the heart of God. Is it 497? Is that what I'm saying? Near to the heart of God? That's where we start. That's where we stay. That's where we begin, and that's where we end, near to the heart of God. Let's sing together. Was it 497? Let's sing the first and the last. Maybe you have a commitment to make. Maybe you need to come to the altar to ask for the people's prayers in your discouragement, or in your frustration, or in your guilt. Maybe you need to come and ask for publicly for forgiveness. Make a confession. Just, you can make it by just simply coming and say, "I need forgiveness. I'm claiming Jesus as my Savior." 497. Please stand together, the first and the last stanza. Thank you.
Lord, we pray that you'll enable this church, this congregation, to be the place where people can find nearness to your heart through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of your church. In Jesus' name. Going out today?